in your life, have you ever said, "That's so unfair"? Have you ever said that? Or have you ever said, "That's not what I worked for"? I have counseled maybe 70 couples and some other extra. And some of them were changing careers. And they're changing their careers. There was one lady, so sure, her dream was to be a nurse. So it took probably 5 years to build up, find all the means, necessary things, finding the schools and working through that, you know, part-time job and the school and all the stresses. And yes, I helped her for about 5 years, meeting probably almost twice a month sometimes, at least once a month. And she became a nurse. She was like in the heaven for about 3 months. Then she came back saying, yeah. And she said, "I did not know nurses do that." So you didn't know what nurses do, but you wanted to be a nurse. It happens, right? It happens. Or, yes, I met one of those seminarians and didn't know what ministers really do, just like to be a minister. So worked all the way, and when was about to be ordained, well, I met that person in another denomination, so don't be confused. But he didn't know what minister was really doing. So when he discovered that, he's like, "No way I can do that." So sometimes we desire something, but based on what? Or most of times. Most of times, especially when we are young. Let's say 18 to 25. And you want to become something, or you desire something. Does it based on any realism? Is there any realistic, practical base on it? No, right? You want it. Why? Because you want it. Just like Jacob fell in love with Rachel at first sight. And he loved her. And he was willing to work 7 years. And he felt like that's just a couple of days. Right? And what happened? He so believed it was Rachel. Then in the morning, he saw that's Leah. So what did he say? "Yes, it's so unfair. And this is not what I wanted." This story is kind of one of those typical Bible stories that kind of holds your attention and actually makes you to think. Why? Number one, you have to understand somehow God wants to have that story in there. Okay? It's not just to tell us some kind of weird ancient tradition that we don't really know about. Or one guy marrying sisters. No, that's not why God put that story in there. There's much deeper and also much more practical meaning that probably is in it. And I titled today's message as Inner Forces, Two Inner Forces of Our Regeneration. So let's make it clear. Anybody knows what regeneration is? I see only three hands. That means what? You don't know what it is? And you're listening to it? Let me ask it again. How many of you knows what regeneration is? Okay, that's good. How many of you don't really know what that is? Good, thank you. Yes, see? How many of you are here to be regenerated? Why? See, sometimes we get kind of lost about things that we do so in a routine basis. One of them is going to church. You don't go to church because there's a building, or you don't go to church because you just have Sunday morning empty, or you want to see some nice faces. I mean, those could be part of the reasons, but you don't go to church for that, right? or you don't come to God for that. So regeneration. If you're a Christian, you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are here to be regenerated. Either you like or not, you agree or not. Why? Because the moment you accepted, or you said, or you saw God, and accepted God in you, your regeneration started. Okay? So all of you, maybe except those two little children, all of you are in part of that. Either you like or not. Again, you agree or not. So we can say again, right? That's not fair. But if you look at the life of Jacob, this guy is quite interesting. So human. You know, among all biblical characters, you don't find a guy like Jacob. He's so cunning, so full of desires, in a way greedy, almost even. He's the guy who tricked his brother to steal the birthright, and also he and his mother worked together to steal the blessing. Okay, he's the guy. Because of that, he had to run away from the house. But if you see his journey, he had to leave his home and then go to another place and live there, but have wives and children and grow and become rich and come back. So if you know this story of like Hero's Return, Hero's Journey by Joseph Campbell, that's in a way what it might look like. Now, in a bigger picture, if you remember the Bible, know the Bible, in the beginning of his journey, you know what happened? He's also the guy who saw the dream or vision of the letter that connects earth and heaven, and angels ascending and descending and God sitting on the top. He had that vision when he was leaving the land. Okay? And he named the place Bethel, house of God. And he promised God that, "Oh Lord, if you protect me and give me safe journey and bring me back home safe, you will certainly be my God, and I'll give you my tenth." How does that sound to you? So faithful, isn't it? Right? He just saw the vision of God, and he's saying, "By the way, I'm going outside. So if you protect me all the way there, and also bring me back home safe, then you'll be my God." I mean, that's Jacob. Okay? So human, isn't it? He's my favorite character. Yeah. Used to be Moses, but now Jacob. I love him much, much more. Because I see in him myself. You know, the way he's doing things, I see myself in him. And he left. And he goes to this place and he sees this lady at the well and Rachel. And like, wow, she's the one. And the marriage story goes on, and he worked for Laban like 14 years to have two wives, and he has, 11 sons and a daughter, and he comes back. I'm just telling you the story, the bigger scale. And when he's on the way back to the land of Canaan, just before crossing over, you know what he did? You know what he did? He was so afraid of his brother, Esau. Why? Because he stole the birthright. Because he stole the blessing for the elder. Okay? So he was still afraid. That was like 21 years later. You know? But he was still afraid. You know, so what he did? He lined up his family like line by line. Like, okay, first you guys stand up. Maybe the least important for me. Then next, and next, and the next. The last group was Rachel and Joseph. And he sent them all, and he stood behind. What does that really tell you about him? Right? Such a good father, right? even at this stage. But when he was there, he had another vision. This time God came to him. And he's the guy also, if you see those paintings that a man wrestling with an angel? That's him. Yes, he wrestled with this spiritual figure all night. And at the end, his name changes from Jacob to what?
Israel.
That's right, Israel. You know what that means? Jacob means heel holder. He holds the heel of his brother. You know what Israel means? God prevails. You see the significance? Yes. And Israel also is the name for the nation to come. Israel is the name. And the 12 tribes of Israel, what? All his children. Isn't that amazing? Out of this guy, just so human, so typical, so weak, so full of fear, but God chose him to transform into something that's so amazing and wonderful. And this story, I see our regeneration. That's in a way us, our journey. Like, it doesn't matter how old you get or how good you think you are or I think I am. We're always fragile and we're always weak. And something happens to us, what do? Self-defense, right? And in the name of that, we justify our actions, like sometimes Jacob. Like, he's putting, okay, Zilpah and your children stand in front. Bilhah and your children next. Leah, sorry, but you're next. And then Rachel and Joseph. And then he's the last one. I mean, that's how he lines up. I mean, can you actually imagine? I'm a father too, but can I actually do it that way? No, of course not. So it's just symbolic, right? But at the same time, sometimes we do that. Sometimes, instead of taking the charge and taking the responsibility and see that, yes, it's done because of me, and I am sorry, acknowledging that, instead of doing that, what do we do? Try to find, like, that's his fault, or that's the government's fault. You can say always, like, yeah, that's government's fault. And kind of everybody agrees on it. Right? Why? Because government is not a person. It's so good to use it to make an excuse. And some of you may know, some of you might not know. Well, yes, the reason we canceled our trip and delayed was because I was held by the government. That's called the Department of U.S. Customs. And my wife stayed outside U.S. over 12 months consecutively. Used to be 2 years, now it's 1 year. So if you are staying outside U.S. as a permanent resident, you have to have re-entry permit. If you know anybody in that situation, let them know that too. Okay? Because otherwise they will be held and they will be asked intention too. Intention means, did you really want to live outside the U.S. and, yeah, all that. But, you know, and so we lost our flight, and they closed down 8:30, and so I had to stay in Vancouver. But I'm not trying to say that was really bad, because that's something that was going to happen anyway. We didn't know. So if were to come back, my wife were to come back to U.S., something could happen. So, sitting in the U.S. Customs, we're waiting actually 2 hours even for them to look at the files. Mm-hmm. And my wife's asking me, what's going to happen? We'll lose the flight. Actually, I said, you know, it'll be done by God's will. I was not trying to be faithful, but that's the best answer I could think of. You know, I have no control of the situation. We're inside U.S. Customs. You cannot make your cell phone calls. You can't call outside. You cannot do anything, actually, until they do something. So when they say, wait, you have to wait. When they call you, you can come. They ask you a question, you answer them. That's what you do. Right? So, yes, But this thing happens to us. That's the reason that we canceled, that we came yesterday. And we had a little nice chat in the evening with my wife and kind of tried to figure out, you know, maybe still it has good meaning, and it does, actually. My wife stayed outside the U.S. over a year, but that's cleared out, right? We dealt with it, so it's gone. My daughter, born in Canada, now she has a U.S. green card. They gave her green card just right there. So that's it. It's good too. So again, what the point there was, we could have been struggling much more if we were to go into the emotional breakdown and burst, but somehow with God's help we didn't. Probably because of that, all those people are so nice to us, and even U.S. customs officers are calling the hotels around and find the rates for us. So, no, I mean, they were being nice to us, really, but it just took time to process things. So, again, say, life, we stumble upon those things. And like, perfect chance to lose you, right? And that's your opportunity to hold and react to the way that you want to be. That's your choice. If you overcome that once, twice, and it becomes your habit, then what happens? Yes. You will be almost unshakable to a lot of those minor problems. There still will be major problems. Yes. But that's how you're regenerating. And this story about, like, Rachel and Leah, if you kind of analyze it just quickly, I supposedly some of you heard this story yesterday. So, but anyway, say, this guy loving Rachel, how long did it take for him to actually marry her? In a total work age, 14 years. Right? And he stumbled upon, he didn't really want to marry Leah. What does that really tell you? Somehow, our way of regeneration, God uses two things to motivate us. One is our first sight love. Like, I bet, is there anyone in here who don't want to be an angel? Raise your hand. Who wants to be a devil or demon? Right? We all want to be an angel. Or, I mean, is there anyone here who wants to be a bad person? Or mean person? Or angry, grumpy person to other people? We don't want that, right? But somehow, we don't achieve that overnight. We have to go through the steps. And the steps are the things that we don't really like that much.
It's work.
It's necessary. It's unavoidable, but we expect they're not there. We want to use elevator. always, shortcut. Where's the fast way to get there? Like, you know, just give it right now, right? How much? But certain things don't work that way, and especially your cultivation, regeneration. It happens step by step. And one at a time. We may not like it. That's why it took so long for Rachel to give birth. See, giving birth to a son means what? The real union. Real marriage. There's a fruit. So, in a realistic way, the real marriage between Jacob and Rachel happened almost what? That long, 20 years. Rachel was barren, and she was crying. So if you look at this Jacob's story, some people may say, yeah, he got four wives, lucky you. But think about it this way. His love of life was barren, always crying. Because at that age, being barren means what for women? Disgrace. Mm-hmm. Yes, disgrace. Nobody can take that away. Leah had six sons, but she wasn't happy. Why? Because She was always hungry for her husband's love. Mm-hmm. And there's Bilha and Zilpah. They were handmaids. So they could not even claim to be wives. So now this man living with these four women, could he be really happy? Not really. And, you know, my friends, that's where we are in our regeneration. We might have moments of happiness, moments of achievement, moments of accomplishment. Like when their sons were born, they were happy. Right? But most of the time, in a way, that's why our life is so full of struggle and task and work and difficult. But whole thing, this whole thing is guided, protected by God. Why? See, Jacob met God in the beginning of the journey, and he's going to confirm that with God. And that's the part of the whole journey. And God doesn't... This is good news. It was good news for me too. And this is still developing theory for me, and I'm still working on to, you know. But God really does not expect us to be perfect until we're perfect. God doesn't expect us to be complete until we can be complete. You know? In a way, God wants us to be exactly who we are, but just be sure that we know that. In my counseling to the couples about marriage and divorce, and I counseled actually marriage and divorce counseling, and also recovering marriage too. But you know what's the biggest problem in a lot of marriages? That's something called expectation gap. Mm-hmm. Right? They don't talk the reality. They talk the expectations. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes there's the miscommunication by appearance, which means that you don't tell what you really want. Mm-hmm. Right? You just signal. So expecting that the other person catches it. You know, sorry, but that really happens rarely. We need to hear it, right? We need to hear it, actually. So, that's in a way how we live. Most of times, we know what reality is and what I really am is. But another times, what? I like me to be this way, not this way. So let's pretend that that doesn't exist, and I'm here. Does that make you happy? Sometimes, right? Yes, sometimes. Like a daydream makes you happy. But what's guaranteed is this one will break down. Why? Because it's an illusion. That's an illusion. So what God is telling us is that I love you guys. I love you. But only you admit where you really are, what you really want, and let me know. I can help you. But if you tell me lies or unexpected things or unreal things, cannot help you. Why? God can only build a house on what? A rock. The truth. So, there are inner forces that drive us for the regeneration. And both of them are actually working toward the truth. You have inner desire. It's almost innate desire to seek the truth. I can ask you another question, right? Who likes lie more than truth? We all love truth. But do you? Really? Do you really want to know the truth? then you get scared, right? Why? Because the truth you may discover may not match your imagination or the fantasy. Or sometimes you know that's not really true, but you want to believe this way. Why? It makes you happy. Like, I just like this character in the movie called Matrix, Cypher. I probably talked to you about it before. You know, this Cypher, have you seen the movie Matrix? Some of you not, but he's the guy who kind of know the real truth. But real truth really, according to his word, sucks. So he wants to forget all that, and he wants to go back to the what? The Matrix, the computer-created imagination. So sometimes we do that too. And God knows that too. That's why it takes step by step and long time, and this whole process, all these children of those three other wives of Jacob, is that's what that means. And actually, for advertisement, I'll talk about that in the lecture. But see, what drives us, two inner forces that I'm trying to share with you, is that we seek for the truth. But we are most likely satisfied, content with appearance of truth until we are fully ready. That's the journey we take. And God allows it. More than that, God protects us and guides us in this journey. Why? Because God knows too. We are not ready and prepared to accept, to receive the truth. So our minds need to be prepared by means of many other things. And that's what happens in our lives. But think about it. Whenever you want to know the truth, you're seeking something that's beyond your comprehension, that's more likely Rachel. But you discover that in order to get that, I have to read these books, or I have to go to church, or I have to study the Bible, that's more likely Leah. But you have to go through that to get what you desire. Why? Well, because that's the way it is. Just like God loves you. Why? Because God loves you. Regeneration is about reforming. We want to reform. That means we want to become something else. Well, can we make a manual to become something else? No, we cannot. Why? We'll make exactly same as what makes us comfortable right now. Regeneration manual has to be from God. And the way I find in the Bible, in the other religion, in the Sweden book, and probably most of you know by your life experiences, right? Even simple thing like 22 years old girl or boy wants to be a doctor, but can she or he become doctor overnight? No. How long will it take? 10 years? 11 years? If that person is persistent, smart, and survive the competition, right? Yes. It's that hard to be a doctor, a lawyer, anything. Even in human world, if you want to achieve something, is it easy? No, it's not easy. How about changing your inner character, inner nature? Okay? We're talking about kind of overcoming all your weaknesses and evil things that you're born with and you want to become an angel. That's what we're talking about here. And if we think it's going to take overnight or it's going to be done by simple things, 1, 2, 3 step, no, that's what I'm saying. Because that's the way it is. And I believe all religion confirms that. So may our Lord be with you, strengthen your mind and heart, and show you path from now on forevermore. Amen.
Amen.